It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name's Jet Lacey. I'm sitting in for Ernest today. That's J-E-T, Lacey. And Ernest has taken a well-deserved day off again, rest his voice. And, you know, he's not the young spring chicken he used to be, and he needs to rest up because we had one heck of a weekend last weekend at the Freedom Summit. And I'll post it up later on the Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. On the listing for the show today, I got this. It's a cool thing. I got a picture taken with Ron Paul, Ernest, and myself. And Ernest and I are holding a sign that says Ron Paul Revolution. And I don't know if any of you know that, that the Ron Paul Revolution started right here in Phoenix, Arizona, and in large part by Ernest Hancock himself. And he designed the logo that is the Ron Paul with the love spelled backwards, the revolution logo. And so it meant a great deal to me to have my picture taken with the man, the myth, the legend, Ron Paul, and Ernest Hancock, who is largely responsible for starting the Ron Paul Revolution. You know, today on the show, we got a really interesting show. It's going to be a little bit heavy. You know, the topic is a little bit deep, but I hope you understand that all this stuff that I'm talking to you about is important. And what I want to talk to you about today is the, you know, in Copenhagen going on right now, there's the global warming summit going on, the climate change summit. And I want to go into global warming and climate change, the hoax that it is. It is fake science. There has been numerous articles that have come out, and someone hacked into their emails at this university that we'll go into, at the University of East Anglia at the Climate Research Unit, and showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are fudging the books, they're cooking the books for scientific research in order to bring about this crisis of global warming that doesn't exist. Actually, the Earth has been cooling for quite some time, and it's fairly evident that that's the case. But, you know, the New World Order, their whole thing is to try to bring about a one-world government run by an oligarchy of bankers, which is, you know, we're on the very verge of that. And if we don't do something now, if we don't stand up and, you know, stand up for ourselves and our families, that's exactly what we're going to get. And we're going to talk in depth about that and how all of this is related to the concept of eugenics. And eugenics is a term that, you know, it means a lot of things, but what I'm talking about is that there is a lot of people in the elite circles that believe there's just too many of us on the earth. And of course, they don't want to do away with themselves, but they want to do away with a large bulk percentage of the population. And if you really look at all of the various crises that are going on in the world right now with the financials, you know, system, the healthcare crisis, the global warming crisis, everything can be boiled down to eugenics. And when I talked to you yesterday about the Ron Paul Revolution, I asked you a certain number of questions. And these questions, I'm going to ask you the same questions today because I do think that they're important. And, you know, I don't want to come off as preachy. I don't want to come off as someone that's trying to tell you how to live your life, because that is the direct opposite to the libertarian doctrine that I follow every day in my life. However, I have some serious, hard questions. And You know, the First Amendment is about the free exchange of ideas among individuals, which is the very cornerstone of a free society. So if we can't ask these hard questions of one another, we don't really have a free society. And I don't mean to attack anyone, but these are hard questions that need to be answered. And I would love to hear from you today on the Liberty News Radio call-in number at 1-866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. I'd love to hear from you today. I know Ernest doesn't take a lot of phone calls because he basically has his show planned out in his mind when he walks in the door. But I'm not Ernest, and I feel a little bit differently about things. I like to exchange ideas with others, and I hope to hear from the listeners out there today. You know, again, I'm talking about climate change and eugenics, but if you have something else you'd like to say, I'll certainly entertain it. But these questions that I want to ask you are very simple, but very serious. Don't you understand that the hour is late? Don't you understand what is being done to you and in your name? Don't you understand that our government is not, nor has it been for a long time, a government of the people, by the people, or for the people as required by the Constitution? Don't you understand that you and your families are being targeted by our government every bit as much as the Iraqis, the Iranians, Afghanis, Venezuelans, Pakistanis, among others? Don't you understand that the orchestrated financial crisis, fake climate change, socialized health care, and all the other various crises have been manufactured in order to bring about the New World Order via the problem-reaction-solution stratagem? Don't you understand that the New World Order is comprised of the banking and corporate elite who will stop at nothing to create a one-world, 1984-style scientific dictatorship to be run by them? Don't you understand that this conspiracy is not a theory but an agenda? And that the bottom line of it all is eugenics? And that, you know, I had a couple other questions there yesterday, but eugenics is where I'm going to stop today, because eugenics is where what it's all about. And we're going to talk about the global, you know, climate change crisis and how it relates to eugenics. And, you know, we're going to have some clips, and we're going to talk about this environmental movement and how it was manufactured in order to wholesale debulk the population of billions of people, billions with a B. You know, there's estimates anywhere from 500 million to 2 billion is all they want left. And we have, what, seven now, six? So we're talking about a large wholesale debulking of the population, like 80 to 90%. Do you think you're one of the one or two out of 10 that are going to survive? I don't think so. I don't think you fit into that category. You're just a regular Joe and Jane bag of donuts, just like I am. And they want us gone because they believe, the New World Order believes, that they own the earth, lock, stock, and barrel, and everything in it, and the air, and all the elements that comprise the earth, and that you are nothing but a scourge, a cockroach, fouling up their earth and ruining their air and doing whatever you're doing. They just don't want you here anymore. Do you think that they have that right? I don't. And that's really the crux of why the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show exists, because it's about the individual. Freedom is about the individual. It's not about the collective. It's not about this we need to, we should, we have to do this collectivist malarkey. You know, I almost said a bad word, but it's malarkey. And we're going to talk in detail about this today. And I really, really do hope to hear from you at 1-866-986-6397, because I think this is very, very important. And I did the morning show for Ernie as well. And, you know, since then, they're having this conference and new articles have come out already. And it's just, it makes you want to laugh, but it makes you want to cry at the same time. It's like an uncomfortable laugh that these people really are putting this out there like it's the real deal. But even though it's a joke to me, the ramifications of it are really profound and really powerful. And so it's not funny at all. And I wanted to start reading to you about this article that I was talking about, you know, a Minority View by Walter Williams that was put out on the 9th of December. And it kind of gives you a little overview. You know, Americans have been rope-a-doped into believing that global warming is going to destroy the planet. Scientists who have been skeptical about man-made global warming have been called traitors and handmaidens of big oil. New evidence proves that climatologists and environmental policy advocates not only have fed us lies, but engaged in scientific and academic fraud, but committed criminal acts as well. When we get back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, we're going to jump right back into it in just a minute. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy on the Liberty News Radio, and we are talking about how global warming hoax is being used to bring about eugenics, to debulk the population of human beings, that we are the scourge of the earth. And it's ridiculous. And actually, someone sent me during the last show, I did both shows for Ernest today, and a guy sent me an email, which was really pretty amazing, about Australia, and if we put every single person on the earth in, you know, on Australia, every single person would have like a quarter acre, and then the whole rest of the earth would be empty, except, you know, to be arable land, to be used to grow things. You know, he says that Australia, which is the smallest continent in the world, has an area in square miles of 2,967,967.29 miles. The number of acres in a square mile is 640. The world population as of 9/11/09 is 6.96 billion. And the number of square miles in Australia times the number of acres per square mile is 1,899,499.065 acres. Number of acres in Australia divided by the world population is 0.272985 acres per person. So therefore, hypothetically, each person, man, woman, and child on Earth could have a quarter of an acre in Australia with 138,634,939 acres remaining for agricultural use, along with every other agricultural region globally available today for food production, leaving the entire rest of the world devoid of human beings. While nobody is suggesting that we all move to Australia, it illustrates the size and scale of the world in which people don't seem to realize. That's a powerful statement, and the guy took the time to just break it down for me, and it's a pretty heavy-duty type of argument. If you look at that, just one continent could house us all. A family of four would have over an acre. And then the rest of the whole world would be open and devoid of human life. So there's plenty of room for all of us. And we are not fouling up the air. The earth is actually cooling. If you look at the documents, and I know it's up on Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Powell Gammel, the senior editor of Freedoms Phoenix, has posted up the link, I think it's WikiLeaks, that you can go and download every single one of those emails. And those emails, there's a lot of them, you know, and it takes a lot of work to go through all of them, but it's really interesting reading if you really get down to the meat and potatoes of it, because they are just absolutely forcing and eliminating any type of, you know, scientific data that doesn't support their claims, which is fraud. And it's criminal. And so getting back to this article that we were talking about on the Minority View by Walter Williams, Last month, Russian computer hackers obtained thousands of emails from the Climate Research Unit at the University of East Anglia in England. CRU has the world's largest temperature data set. In collaboration with scientists around the world, including the U.S., its research and mathematical models form the basis of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, 2007 Global Warming Report. The emails involved communication among climate researchers and policy advocates around the world who brazenly discuss both the destruction and hiding of data that does not support global warming claims. They discuss criminally deleting data rather than comply with the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, requests. There's also discussion of faking data for journals such as Nature, conspiring to keep opposing science out of peer-reviewed journals, which they control the editorial boards. And in using statistical tricks to hide the cooling period of the last 10 years. One email said, "The fact is we can't account for the lack of warming at the moment, and it's a travesty that we can't." Another said, "It would be nice to try to, quote, contain the punitive MWP, even if we don't have a hemispheric mean reconstruction available that far back." MWP refers to the medieval warm period from 800 AD to 1300 AD, when the Earth was much warmer than it is now. This bothers the global warmers because they can't blame the temperature increase 1,000 years ago on SUVs, coal-burning power plants, incandescent bulbs, and 60-inch screen TVs. You know, and if you look at the year period, 800 AD to 1300 AD, we're talking about largely the Renaissance. When the Earth is warmer, more plants grow because more CO2, that's what plants breathe and give out oxygen. And so with more plant life, you have more ungulate life and like other deer and other herbivores that have plenty to eat at that point. And then, you know, moving on from there, you have more predator life that has more to eat, and everything just fulminates. It blossoms. You know, and the warmer, and that coincides with the Renaissance. You know, we do better in a warmer climate. It's a more bountiful climate in order to live and be. And so these types of things that they're doing are simply, you know, this is all about a global tax. It's all about a tax in order to fund their New World Order and the IMF and the single one world bank that controls the one world government. And I know it sounds profound for me to say it this way, but that's just the way it is. This is what they're trying to do. I've done my research, and I ask that you don't listen to actually a thing that I say. I don't want you to believe a thing that I say. I want you to go out and find out for yourself with the information that I give you. Because it looks better to for you to see it for yourself in black and white. You know, I don't, you know, who am I? I'm just some Joe Bagadonas talking on the radio. But I do my research. I do read a lot about this stuff because I do care about my future. And I feel that if I don't act, there's not going to be a future for me and my family. And that's the whole thing. I'm not overly concerned with everybody else's out there's freedom. I'm concerned with my own. However, it does me no good to be free and for everybody else to be under slavery. It doesn't work. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. So the fact is, in my selfishness for wanting my own freedom for me and my family, I have to advocate for the freedom of everyone. And that's just them's the breaks, as they say. So what we're talking about here is, you know, the editors of these professional journals who were willing to publish articles that disagreed with warmers were forced to resign, as was in the cases of editors at Climate Research and Geophysical Research Letters. A flagrant example of suppression is found in CRU Director Phil Jones' letter to Pennsylvania State University's Michael E. Mann that questions whether the work of academics who question the link between human activities and global warming deserve to make it into the IPCC report, which represents the environmental extremist view on climate science. Jones writes, I can't see either of these papers being in the next IPCC report. Kevin and I will keep them out somehow, even if we have to redefine what the peer review literature is. They don't care, you know, and that's unfortunate. Science used to be about the honest results that they were looking for. You have this scientific method, and you form a hypothesis, and then you go about systematically trying to prove or disprove it. It's not about making proof of what you want to do is right or wrong. It's about proving whether it is right or wrong. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, my name is Jet Lacy, J-E-T. We're going to jump right back into it about this hoax, and we will be right back in just a minute.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy on the Liberty News Radio, and the number, call-in number is 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. I'm not kidding when I say I take all callers. You know, I really want to talk to the people out there listening about this stuff. If you have anything to say, I really, really urge you to call, because this is really important, and this is something that's going on, even though it's going on in Copenhagen, Denmark. It's something that affects us all profoundly should this come to pass. You know, we're in a lot of trouble here, folks. And I really want to play, I'm going to play a clip here, and I'm going to preface it here by saying I took it from two different clips, but they're very related. One, the clip originally is called Environmentalism and Eugenics, Part 1. And I added that on to a clip by Aldous Huxley, that, you know, he was talking about this different stuff that, you know, you got to read Brave New World and you got to read 1984 to understand this stuff. And it's really ugly how they've decided to do their thing, whatever they decided to do. And they, you know, these guys are Malthusians, which means they just want to lower the earth, you know, the population of the earth down to a level, because these guys are elitists. If you read George Orwell, wasn't as much, but, you know, a lot of the Huxleys and the Darwins, even though I believe in the theory of Darwin, I understand Darwin's theory. I understand that survival of the fittest is just a fact of the situation of life in and of itself. But there's a, you know, there's a point at which, you know, we're a higher functioning being, and that sort of thing doesn't always apply to our situation, even though it could. The reason it doesn't is because we ultimately know better. We can circumvent our animal tendencies because we have a deeper understanding of the world. And so I'm going to play this clip right now, and I hope we get it. It's first minute and a half is Aldous Huxley speaking, and the second is a clip on the environmentalism and how it relates to eugenics and how it relates to the same people that were talking at the beginning. So we're going to play this right now.
What I may call the messages of Brave New World, that it is possible to make people contented with their servitude. I think this can be done. I think it has been done in the past, but I think it could be done even more effectively now, because you can provide them with bread and circuses, and you can provide them with endless amounts of distractions and propaganda.
October the 21st, 1949. Dear Mr. Orwell, the nightmare of 1984 is destined to modulate into the nightmare of Brave New World. The change will be brought about as a result of a felt need for increased efficiency. Thank you once again for the book. Yours sincerely, Aldous Huxley.
what is to me very interesting, it looks as though the totalitarian regimes of the future will not be based upon terror, because they will have other means. These means now so described as brainwashing and propaganda, which will be much more efficient and much more economical than
pleasurable,
of course, and more pleasurable to those who undergo them. There are techniques available at present which do seem to duplicate some of the techniques I invented.
We are currently in the face of a rapidly accelerating international financial collapse. Billions are being threatened by a water crisis combined with a global food shortage, and the repeated failure of political leadership to competently address these matters has made the overall crisis even worse. Given this state of the world around you, wouldn't it be a proper occasion to ask, what actually governs your society? Take the fanaticism around global warming. The science indicates that these changes in the Earth's climate are determined by solar cycles, orbital changes, and interstellar radiation. Yet even potentially decent leaders are still going along with the green policies that will vastly accelerate the economic breakdown. So if it's not a matter of science, then what is driving our nation down a path of green fascism? To be clear on these matters, examine how the British Empire created the modern environmentalist movement. The ideological and political basis is demonstrated by the founders of the movement, Julian Huxley, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, and the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. These three have played key roles for the British Empire going back to before World War II. Following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Thomas Huxley, known as one of the pioneers of race science, Julian Huxley was obsessed with population control and eugenics. He continued his grandfather's legacy, acting as vice president of the British Eugenic Society during the bulk of World War II, and later became president. Julian was, by all means, not shy about his disgust for humanity.
The lowest strata of people are reproducing too fast. Therefore, they must not have too easy access to relief or hospital treatment, lest the removal of the last check on natural selection should make it too easy for children to be produced or to survive. Long unemployment should be a grounds for sterilization.
Around the same time period, in the 1930s, Prince Philip was being educated at the elite school of Salem Castle in Germany, while it was being run by the Nazis, who had made race science at the core of the curriculum. Many of his relatives were themselves either pro-Nazi or members of the SS, while Philip developed secret ties with the pro-Nazi British King Edward VIII. Oh, and speaking of British Empire Nazis, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands was recruited to Nazi intelligence at Berlin University in 1934. He then became a member of the SS and went to work for IG Farben, which pioneered Hjalmar Schacht's slave labor concentration camps. Even when he was forced to resign from the Nazi SS for political reasons relating to his marriage, he maintained his unwavering loyalty to the Nazi Party up to the very last moment, signing his letter of resignation, Heil Hitler. In return, Hitler sent him a congratulatory letter for his marriage. Obviously, the publicity of the atrocities committed during World War II made eugenics and Nazism not too popular after the war. Julian Huxley pulled away from his public support of eugenics and became the first head of the United Nations Educational, Social, and Cultural Organization. He stated in UNESCO's founding document,
"Thus, even though it is quite true that radical eugenics policy will be for many years politically and psychologically impossible, it will be important for UNESCO to see that the public mind is informed of the issues at stake, so that much that is now unthinkable may at least become thinkable."
Soon after, Huxley co-founded the International Union for the Conservation of Nature to continue the British Empire's population control and eugenics policy under a new name, conservation, or as it was later called, environmentalism. Prince Philip likewise took up the cause of environmentalism, taking a personal commitment to reduce the global population by billions. As he later expressed in multiple interviews, he wishes to be reincarnated as a deadly virus to aid in reducing the world population. By 1960, a 74-year-old Julian Huxley decided to take an extensive 3-month tour of Africa. Why? to preach that the newly independent African nations could not be trusted to conserve wildlife. The following year...
You know, this is just nuts. I mean, if you really think about it, we're talking about the Huxleys, talking about Prince Bernhard. His daughter is still the Queen of the Netherlands, and Prince Bernhard created the Bilderberg Group in 1954 at the Hotel Bilderberg. And then Prince Philip is Queen Elizabeth's husband. Queen Elizabeth II of England, her husband, has wished to be reincarnated as a deadly virus in order to depopulate man. That's how these people operate. They think that their blue blood courses through their veins a little bit differently. They think that they're somehow better than us because they have more money than us. And it's really a dangerous and slippery slope. You know, it said Julian Huxley was obsessed with population control. And he said that the lowest strata should not have accessibility to health care. All this has to do with money and not, it doesn't have anything to do with the person themselves. You know, you could have a really bright individual born of poverty, but they still advocate because they were born of poverty that they do not have the right to live. And I urge you to look into UNESCO. It's really ugly. It's an ugly thing. You know, and can you imagine if they instituted sterilization for long periods of unemployment? You know how many people be sterilized right about now because we're in a financial crisis? When we get back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock with me, Jet Lacey, we're going to dive right back into this really difficult mess. And I hope to hear from you at 1-866-986-6397. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name's Jet Lacey, and it is more than a feeling that I get that the New World Order is trying to take us over. I know it is. So getting back to what we were talking about with talking about eugenics and how the New World Order is using the climate gate, you know, climate scandal, climate change, everything that's going on in the news today, they're using it to try to bring about a one world government with a one world currency run by the bankers. And that is the bottom line. You know, they're whenever you talk about a global tax on anything, you got to really stop to wonder, you know, who's going to manage this stuff. And what they're looking at is a supranational government, super meaning above any other individual sovereign nation, that's a blanket government over everything. So I just don't, you know, these people have proven themselves to be nasty and selfish and dirty for hundreds of years now, and I'm just not going to participate. You know, if it was a one world government and everybody was holding hands and, you know, picking daisies and stuff like they talked about in the 70s, so, you know, I might be on board for that stuff. But these guys are not benevolent. They are malevolent, selfish scum, you know, that, you know, Hunter S. Thompson, who is one of my heroes, said, words like scum and rotten, you know, are not a part of objective journalism, but they miss the point. And the point is that sometimes people are rotten and people are scum. And these guys, these George Soros, David Rockefellers, you know, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, they are the scum of the earth. And there's no other way to put it. And so, you know, yeah, it's not a part of objective journalism, but that's the way that it is. I want to play the second part of this clip for you, and we'll talk about it further. And I really hope to hear from you guys at 1-800-313-9443. 1-800, that's the other one, 866-986-6397. 866-986-NEWS. I was reading you off the other one for the Ernie's other show. I'm going to play this clip, and we'll talk about it.
Huxley would join up with Prince Philip and Prince Bernard to found the World Wildlife Fund as a new front for the British Empire to continue their imperial genocidal policies. This is the ideological basis for the creation of the so-called environmentalist movement. Hatred of human scientific and technological progress, driven by the utterly degenerate view of mankind as nothing but an animal, a beast to be trained and manipulated, conditioned and culled. The desire of the empire? To reduce the world population down to 1 to 2 billion people and keep the vast majority of those remaining in a backwards, indigenous state. Here we find the philosophical core of the countercultural attack directed at the baby boomer generation. From Silent Spring to the population bomb, they were subjected to psychological warfare intended to break the United States culture away from any commitment toward actual human progress. The baby boomers were conditioned to believe that man was a scourge on the planet, and any desire to improve mankind's living conditions, especially through application of nuclear power, must be stopped. The global warming hoax was introduced in 1975 through a conference organized by Margaret Mead. Bringing together the followers of this anti-human doctrine in the United States, the entire conference was run under the presumptions that mankind's development was inherently going to devastate the planet. That was the only thing that mattered to the organizers of the conference. Scientific accuracy was secondary and only relevant to the degree that it could be manipulated to justify their desired policy of halting progress and reducing the population. The conference featured followers of Paul Ehrlich, whose fraudulent work, The Population Bomb, was a reintroduction of the work of Thomas Malthus. Ehrlich himself believed that we should cut the U.S. population in half. Typical of Ehrlich's followers at this 1975 conference was Stephen Schneider, notorious for saying,
"To capture the public imagination, we have to offer up some scary scenarios, make simplified dramatic statements, and little mention of any doubts one might have. Each of us has to decide the right balance between being effective and being honest."
Schneider later became a major participant in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the supposed scientific authority regarding global warming. Under the direction of Mead, the emphasis of the 1975 conference was not science, but on obtaining a consensus agreement on the proper scare stories needed to push their policy. As Mead said herself at the conference,
"What we need from scientists are estimates presented with sufficient conservatism and plausibility, but at the same time as free as possible from internal disagreements that can be exploited by political interests. That will allow us to start building a system of artificial but effective warnings, warnings which will parallel the instincts of animals who flee before the hurricane."
It was out of this conference that the hoax of man-made global warming was born. This was never about science. It is the British Empire's policy for genocide. So before you react or come to a consensus with your friends and neighbors, make sure you actually know where your impulses are coming from. Just because you share an opinion, how do you know it's really yours?
Yeah, how do you know it's really yours? After all, you are a scourge on the planet, according to the New World Order. You know, and that's the whole thing. If you look at what he was talking about, that the clip that I played for you was from the Lyndon LaRouche Political Action Committee. And, you know, a lot of people think that Lyndon LaRouche is a conspiracy theorist, just like I've been accused of numerous times. And again, I say it's not a conspiracy. It's an agenda. It's not a theory anyway. It's a conspiracy, all right. You know, but we are a scourge on the planet, according to the global elite. You know, that's why you have George Soros saying all these things in the news over and over and over again right now, that we just need to tax us and loan the money to poorer nations. So it's this circular amount of, I don't know how to put it. It's just they loan the money out to these countries, and then they put them over a barrel, and then they give them these ultimatums that they have to give up their resources. We have to give up their resources and, you know, pay back these amounts of money that they possibly, no way can they possibly pay it back. You know, we are being conditioned to be culled and to be put in a backward and indigenous state. And again, I'm going to bring it all back into this one neat package that says, look at the financial collapse of 2007. You look at the healthcare debate that's going on, they're trying to pass. You look at the global warming. And all of these things are meant to bring us back to a backward and indigenous state. They need to crush America and the American spirit. They want to crush us. They want to bring us back to nothing. Is that what you want? You know, I end up, you know, I'm a pretty nice guy, but I end up hollering now and again because they want to take from us everything that we have earned. They want to pull the rug out from under us, from this beautiful country that was created out of individual liberty. And now, what are we? We are a bunch of backwoods, uneducated, illiterate, whatevers. But we don't have to be. We can be whoever we want to be because the American spirit is still alive and the American spirit is still there. It's still here in me. It's still here in the people that I work with in the activism group. It is alive and well, and it is sick, and it is on its last legs. But what are you going to do about it? When are you going to take a stand? When are you going to do something about our collective situation? When are you going to worry about your individual liberty, or do you want to be part of the New World Order? I tend not to believe if you're listening to a Liberty News radio, you sort of get it. You get it. But, you know, it's okay to get it, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't take action. If you don't do something, you can sit there and listen and, you know, whatever you want to do, but it doesn't help your situation to sit back and relax and listen to other people rant and rave and do something about the situation if you're not doing it. And that's why Declare Your Independence is about educating the public, about awakening minds, about freeing minds from the matrix that is the New World Order. And I don't know what to say. I get befuddled, I guess. I get so upset about what is going on in this country. And I just wish that people would just understand that we're in a lot of trouble, people. We're in a lot of danger. There's a large group of people out there, not large, a relatively small group of people, actually, but they have a large percentage of the population, of the money of this world. And if we don't do something, they're going to take the rest of it from us and let us live like animals. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, we're going to discuss that further, and I hope to hear from you on 8th and the LNR Liberty News Radio call-in number at 866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. And, you know, maybe I'll calm down by then. You know, I got a six-minute break. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how they're trying to debulk us and get rid of us off of this earth. So, let's talk about it, and we'll work it out between us, shall we? We'll be right back.